For about a year, an enormous amount of American life was organized around a single number. Not a date, not a percentage, a distance, 6 feet. You can probably still see it. It was taped onto the floor of the grocery store, that little strip of tape, or the painted footprints, or the sticker telling you where to stand. It was printed on decals in the elevator, telling four people they were now a crowd. It emptied the middle seats of restaurants and turned the tables you could sit at into a checkerboard. And in classrooms, it pulled the desks apart and left half the chairs unused, the reason a child might attend school 2 days a week instead of five. Because a room that held 30 children at 3 feet held only a fraction of that at six. For about a year, 6 feet organized the daily texture of American life. Not as a metaphor, as tape on the floor, as the empty chair you weren't allowed to sit in. You didn't debate it. You didn't look up the source. You moved your cart back, stepped onto the mark, and waited, because that was the rule. And the rule had the weight of science behind it. And the whole time, almost none of us asked the simplest possible question about the number we were all obeying. Where did the number come from? In January of 2024, congressional investigators put exactly that question, under oath, to the man who had been the most visible face of American pandemic policy, to Anthony Fauci, say it Fauci, long-serving director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the official American saw and heard during the pandemic more than any other. His answer was not a citation. Beat, music drops nearly out.
You know, I don't recall. It sort of just appeared. Hold 2.0 seconds of air. Do not step on the line.
Not a study, not a date, not a name, a shrug. Now that sentence has been pulled hard in two directions since. One side heard a confession. The other heard a clip yanked out of context to embarrass a careful witness. Both sides were sure. And here's the strange part. They were both reading the very same paragraph, the same words under oath on the same page of the same transcript. So tonight we're going to do the slow version. We're going to follow one number, 6 feet, from the floor sticker to the classroom, to the transcript where it was finally asked to account for itself, and then to the day, a year into all of this, when the same government cut it in half. From Fauci's Lies, this is The Public Record. I'm Brian. Episode 4, 6 feet apart. You don't need me to set the scene. You were in it, but it's worth slowing down on, because we got so used to 6 feet that we stopped noticing how total it was. For a stretch of months, that one measurement decided where you could stand, who you could sit near, how many people counted as too many. It was on the floor of the pharmacy and the tape across the church pews. It was the spacing of the line outside the hardware store, wrapping around the building in the cold. And here's what's easy to forget now that it's behind us. 6 feet didn't feel like a number while you were living inside it. It felt like the air had a rule attached. You learned to read a room by it, to glance at a checkout line and know it was too long, to flinch a little when a stranger drifted close. It became a reflex, and a reflex doesn't invite questions. You don't stop in the cereal aisle and wonder where the decal on the floor got its measurement. You just stand on it. That's part of why this story is worth telling slowly. The number was everywhere, and precisely because it was everywhere, almost nobody asked it to explain itself. It carried the authority of science, of the public health establishment, of the experts on television every night, and that authority did the work a citation usually does. You trusted it the way you trust a speed limit sign. Someone, somewhere, must have measured, and nowhere did the measuring matter more than in schools. Because in a classroom, 6 feet isn't a polite suggestion. It's geometry. And the geometry is unforgiving. Beat, slow the next passage. Let the listener picture it. Here's the math, and I want to take it slowly, because it's the hinge of the whole story. Spacing children 6 feet apart instead of three doesn't require twice the room. It requires roughly four times the floor area per child. Distance, in a grid, squares. You're spacing in two directions at once, front to back and side to side. Double the gap in both, and you don't double the room you need. You quadruple it. So a room that could seat a full class at 3 feet held only about a quarter as many at six. A classroom built for 30 becomes a classroom for 7 or 8, which means the other 20-some children are home, which means hybrid schedules, 2 days in the building, 3 days on a screen. which means for a year the difference between 6 feet and 3 feet was, very concretely, the difference between a school that could bring its students back and one that could not. Sit with how much rides on the choice between two small numbers. If the rule is 3 feet, the room works, the desks fit, the class comes back, the year looks something like a normal year. If the rule is 6, the same room can't hold the same children, and the year becomes a patchwork of screens and half days, and parents trying to work while a child does long division at the kitchen table. Same room, same kids, same building. The only thing that changed was the number on the page. That's how much weight a single distance was carrying. And I want to be careful here, because this is an episode that's going to ask a hard question, and I don't want the question to arrive before the fairness does. This act is not yet a claim about anybody. I'm not telling you the number was wrong, or that distance is a hoax. I'm describing how completely one figure governed a year of American life, and why the exact figure, 6 versus 3, turned out to decide so much. Which brings us back to the question from the top, the one the floor stickers never answered. Where did 6 feet come from? In January 2024, Anthony Fauci sat for a 2-day transcribed interview with the House Select Subcommittee on the coronavirus pandemic. Let me gloss that because the format matters. A transcribed interview is a sworn, recorded session conducted behind closed doors where committee staff can slow down and press a witness line by line with a court reporter taking down every word. It's not a televised hearing. No cameras, no audience, no soundbite to play to. It's slow, careful, and it's under oath. And that's why it matters here. What you're about to hear isn't a critic's characterization of Fauci. It isn't a clip an opponent cut to make him look bad. It's Anthony Fauci, in his own words, under oath, giving his own account of his own record. When a witness under oath is asked a direct question and answers it, that answer is about as close to bedrock as this kind of reporting gets. The investigators asked him when discussions of a 6-foot threshold began and how it came to be applied across businesses, schools, and public life. Here is the answer in full, because the meaning of this passage has been stretched both ways, and the only honest thing to do is let you hear all of it.
You know, I don't recall. It sort of just appeared. I don't recall, like, a discussion of whether it should be 5 or 6 or whatever. It was just that 6 foot is hold 2.0 seconds.
I don't recall a discussion of whether it should be 5 or 6 or whatever. Stay with that. Not, we debated 5 versus 6 and chose 6. Not, here's the meeting where we settled it. He could not recall a discussion of whether it should be 5 or 6 or anything else. And listen to how he describes the number arriving. It sort of just appeared. That's not the language you use for a decision you made. It's the language you use for something you found already in the room. The questioner pressed on the obvious follow-up, the one you'd ask. And here I want to be precise, because we hold ourselves to the record. That question, as it reads in the source, is a paraphrase of the investigator's line, not a word-for-word quotation. In substance, did you see any studies that supported 6 feet? The answer is verbatim. Beat.
I was not aware of studies that, in fact, that would be a very difficult study to do. Hold 1.5 seconds.
Not aware of studies supporting that specific distance. And to be fair to him, he adds something true. That it would be a very hard study to even run. He's right about that. You can't easily randomize a population, stand some people 3 feet apart and others 6, and cleanly measure who got infected. Hold on to that point, because it cuts both ways. It's part of his defense, and it's also part of the problem. And then, asked once more to account for the figure, he reached for a word.
I think it would fall under the category of empiric. Just an empiric decision that wasn't based on data, or even data that could be accomplished. But I'm thinking hard as I'm talking to you. I don't recall, like, a discussion of, now it's going to be. It sort of just appeared that 6 feet is going to be the distance. Hold 2.0 seconds.
Empiric. Say it empiric. That's his word, not mine, and we're going to keep it because it's load-bearing. The plain language version, An empiric decision is a judgment call, acting on experience and instinct, ahead of the completed data, because you have to act now and the studies aren't in yet. It is not a slur. It is not by itself an admission of anything wrong. In a fast-moving emergency, with a novel virus and people dying, an empiric call is often the only move on the board. Doctors make them every day. So when he reaches for that word, he is not confessing to recklessness. He's naming a recognized mode of deciding under pressure. But hear what he attached to it. He said the figure was an empiric decision that wasn't based on data, and then went further than, we didn't have the data yet. He said it wasn't based on data, or even data that could be accomplished. A judgment, by his own account, that no realistic experiment was ever going to confirm. Beat. So let's be precise about what those answers establish, and only what they establish, in his own words, under oath. Three things. One, he did not recall a deliberation over the distance. There was no meeting he could point to where someone weighed 5 versus 6 and chose. Two, he was not aware of studies supporting 6 feet specifically. And three, he characterized the choice himself as empiric, a judgment call that, in his words, wasn't based on data. That's the record of the exchange. The most prominent defender of the 6-foot rule under oath asked the most basic question you could ask about it, where did it come from, answering 3 ways across, 1 exchange, that he doesn't know, that he's not aware of supporting studies, and that it was a judgment call not based on data. Now, what does it mean? And just as important, what does it not mean? Because this is exactly where the story usually goes off the rails, in both directions at once. When that exchange surfaced, it traveled fast, and it traveled in one particular shape. It got summarized over and over in headlines, in posts, in segments, as a confession that Anthony Fauci had, in so many words, made up the 6-foot rule, that he'd admitted he invented it. I want to be very clear about what I'm doing right now. That framing is not this show's finding. It's how the clip got captioned out in the world. And the investigation this episode is built on exists, in part, to correct it. So let me correct it plainly, even though the correction helps the person this show is investigating. The transcript will not bear that reading. Beat. He did not say he made up the rule. He did not say he invented 6 feet, or that it was arbitrary, or that he pulled it from nowhere. Read it again, he said almost the opposite. He said he could not recall who decided it or how. It sort of just appeared, is a statement of not knowing the provenance. It is not a claim of authorship. I made it up is a confession of being the source. I don't know where it came from is a man pointing at a gap in the record where the decision should be. Those are not the same sentence, and that difference is the entire space this episode operates in. And on the record, Fauci wasn't even the author of the written rule. The 6-foot figure that governed classrooms was written by the CDC in its own guidance, in its own name. If it's easier, just think the Federal Public Health Agency, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We'll get to that document in a minute. The point for now, nobody in this story, on this record, said I invented 6 feet. So this show won't say it either. And here's why the distinction matters, because it's tempting to wave off as a technicality. It isn't. The damaging answers he actually gave are damaging enough on their own terms. A number organized a year of American life, and the official most associated with it can't tell you, under oath, where it came from or whether any study backed it. You don't need to add anything to that. And inflating it into a confession that was never made is its own kind of dishonesty. You've done a smaller version of the very thing you're accusing him of, substituting the story you want for the record you have. It also lets the real problem off the hook. Once the made-up version gets debunked, people assume the whole thing was nothing. It wasn't. Beat, let it settle. And the second misreading runs the other way, that this proves distancing was frivolous, a sham. It doesn't establish that either. Respiratory viruses spread at closer range. Putting space between people is a long-standing, reasonable precaution. This show takes no position on the optimal distance, 3 feet, 6 feet, anything between. Nothing here treats early decisions under uncertainty as bad faith. So what is the argument? If it's not he made it up, and it's not distancing as fake, what's left? Something narrower, and on its own terms, still serious. The investigation puts it this way.
About candor, a specific number presented to the public for a year with the authority of science that its most prominent defender would later testify was not, to his knowledge, based on data. Hold 2.0 seconds.
That's the whole episode right there. Not a lie, not an invention. A gap between how a number was presented with the full authority of science and what its most prominent defender would later testify under oath about its basis. Both the prosecution and the defense are reading the same paragraph. We reproduced it so you could read it too. Now, why did that gap cost so much? Because of where the number landed. Schools. The 6-foot rule was not an abstraction. Above all, it was a school policy. And it wasn't a vibe, and it wasn't a rumor. It was operational guidance. Operational just means it told institutions what to actually do, day to day. For K through 12 schools, that guidance put the number in plain text. Here is the language, as written.
Social distancing of at least 6 feet. Hold 1.5 seconds.
At least 6 feet, 5 words. And notice the phrase isn't about 6 feet, or ideally 6 feet. It's at least. A floor, not a target. In a room with fixed walls, at least 6 feet is the most demanding version of the rule you can write. And that requirement collided with the geometry we did a minute ago. 6 feet rather than 3 needs, roughly 4 times the floor area per child. The room that seated a full class at 3 feet held only a quarter, as many at 6. For a year, that arithmetic was the policy, the line between bringing your students back full time and sending them home half the week. And here's the thing about guidance from an agency like the CDC. It doesn't stay on a web page. It flows downhill. Federal reopening materials picked it up. State and local health departments wrote it into their own rules. District administrators built reopening plans around it. Principals counted deaths against it. By the time it reached a teacher measuring out a classroom with a tape measure, at least 6 feet wasn't a recommendation anymore. It was the constraint the whole building bent around. 5 words in a guidance document, translated into empty desks in 10,000 classrooms. So when the investigators asked under oath where 6 feet came from, that wasn't a trivia question. They were asking about the foundation a year of childhood was balanced on top of. Beat. And I'll hold the fairness here, because it belongs here too. I'm not telling you the CDC was reckless to write it, or that 6 feet was chosen in bad faith. I'm telling you the precise figure applied to the unforgiving geometry of a classroom decided whether kids went back. That's not an accusation. That's just the stake. Keep that stake in mind, because a year later, the same agency changed the number. On March 19th, 2021, a full year into the pandemic, the CDC cut the number in half for schools, the setting where, as we just walked through, it did the most damage. And they didn't slip it out the back door. They put it in a press release in the agency's own name, and they leaned on a single idea: new evidence. The release was titled to emphasize new evidence on physical distance in classrooms. The agency said it was updating its K-12 guidance to reflect the latest science on physical distance between students in classrooms. And the new recommendation, with universal masking, read like this.
Students should maintain a distance of at least 3 feet in classroom settings. Hold 1.5 seconds.
3 feet, half the distance. And the reason the agency gave...
to reflect the latest science. Hold 2.0 seconds.
Now hold that release up against the testimony, side by side. The 6-foot figure, by Fauci's own sworn account, wasn't based on data. A year later, the CDC reduced it to 3 feet for schools, and the reason it gives is the latest science, new evidence. Which raises the question the whole episode has been circling. If the evidence is what justified 3 feet in 2021, what was holding up 6 feet in 2020? Picture the timeline as a straight line. At one end, 2020, the 6-foot rule, written into school guidance, reshaping classrooms. Then a year passes, a whole school year, with its hybrid schedules and empty desks and kids on screens. And only at the far end, March 2021, does the CDC stand up and say, in effect, we've looked at the latest science, and for classrooms, 3 feet is enough. The evidence the agency cited to have the rule arrived after the rule had already governed a year of American childhood. It didn't lead the rule in, it came along behind it. Which is the line this story turns on. The investigation says it cleanly, and I'll attribute it to the investigation, because it's a synthesis, not a raw fact. The number came first, the data came second. Hold 2.0 seconds of air. And I want to keep that sober, because it's easy to overread. This is a sequence on the dated record. The rule, then a year, then the revision citing new evidence. It is not, in this show's voice, a claim about anyone's motive. I don't know why the evidence came late, and I'm not going to pretend I do. Maybe the early evidence genuinely pointed at 6, and later evidence revised it. Maybe 6 was always more cushion than the science required. The documents don't tell us which, and so neither will I. What they do tell us is the order, and that order is not interpretation. It's just the record. This is the part of every episode where we draw the line hard between what the record actually establishes and what it doesn't. We do it every time, on purpose, because the whole value of working from documents is lost the moment you start saying more than the documents say. On this episode, that line carries the season's single most important correction, so I'm not going to rush it. Here is what the record establishes. 3 things, each on a sworn statement or an official document. 1. By the sworn account of the official most associated with it, the 6-foot standard was an empiric decision, a judgment call he could not tie to specific studies, and that, in his words, wasn't based on data. 2. That figure was written into CDC school guidance as at least 6 feet, and that requirement drove whether and how schools could reopen. 3. In March 2021, the CDC cut the school distance to 3 feet, citing new evidence, a full year after the original rule took hold. Beat, slow down. This is the required fairness beat, read aloud, dry. And here is what the record does not establish. I'm going to say each one out loud because the absence is as important as the presence. The record does not establish, and this show does not assert, that Fauci made up the rule or invented it personally. He testified he did not recall its origin. It sort of just appeared, is a man saying he doesn't know where a number came from. That clip caption, the confession everyone forwarded, is not in the transcript. We checked. It isn't there. We won't run it as fact because it isn't one. The record does not establish that physical distancing is ineffective. Let me be emphatic, because the made-up crowd sometimes uses this exchange to argue distance never mattered at all, and that's not here either. Keeping space between people is a long-standing, reasonable precaution against close-range respiratory spread. This show takes no position on the single correct distance, not 6, not 3. And the record does not establish that anyone acted in bad faith. This is maybe the most important concession, so I'll be plain. Emergency decisions ahead of completed data are normal, often necessary. Empiric is not an insult and not a crime. In the first chaotic months of 2020, officials made countless calls without finished studies, because waiting for certainty would have meant doing nothing while people died. The question was never whether officials acted before the studies were in. Of course they did. They had to. The question is narrower, and it's the only one the record actually supports. Was the public told how thin the basis was? Beat. What's left when you set aside everything the record won't support is narrow. And it's the thing the record genuinely does show. A judgment made without data, presented to the public with the authority of science, and left uncorrected for a year. That's not a verdict. That's a candor problem. And it's the one we can stand behind, because it's the one the documents bear. There is nothing wrong with a public health official making an empiric call in a crisis. There is something worth examining in presenting that call as though it were settled science, in letting the public believe for a year that there was firm data underneath a number its most prominent defender would later testify there wasn't. The failure, if there's a failure, isn't in the 6 feet. It's in the confidence with which the 6 feet was sold, and in how long it took for anyone to say out loud how thin the basis was. A government may have to act before it has proof. That's not the failure. Sometimes that's the job. What a government should not do is take a judgment made without data and hand it to the public as though it were a finding drawn from data, wrap a guess in the authority of science, put it on the floor in tape, build it into the walls of a classroom, and then leave the correction for a year later after the cost has already been paid. And in this case, the cost was paid in something specific: empty desks, half-attended years, kids who learned at a kitchen table because a room that fit 30 at 3 feet fits 7 at 6. The 6 foot rule is a small thing and an enormous one. Small because it is a single number, two syllables, a measurement you could pace off in a hallway. Enormous because that number, by the testimony of the man who defended it, sort of just appeared, and then shaped how millions of American children spent a year of their lives. Beat. The distance was real. The evidence, when it finally came, said 3 feet. The candor in between is what went missing. Hold 2.5 seconds, near silence. Across this season, we've been chasing one thing: the gap between how certain officials sounded in public and how uncertain the record shows they were underneath. We've watched a private uncertainty become a public certainty. We've watched a precise word become a public denial. And tonight we watched a single number govern a year of American life, taped onto the floors, built into the classrooms, carried with the full authority of science, and then, a year later, quietly cut in half by the same agency that wrote it. There's one more split to follow, and this one isn't out in a grocery store or a classroom. It's inside the government itself, where different agencies read the very same origins question and reach different answers at different levels of confidence. Not the government concluded X. Different parts of the government, reading the same record, landing in different places, and saying so with very different degrees of certainty. What did the declassified record actually say? And how sure was anyone, really? Next time on The Public Record, The Split. End of episode. Document voice lines S01, S02, S03, S04, S08, S09, S12A, S12B are verbatim from flagship number 3, the 6 foot rule, either 6 foot rule, .bigero, and traced in source map, MDE. All were re-verified against the article text in this pass. S01, scanner, S02, S03, S04, segment of 2, S08, segment 3, S09, SecV, quote comparison, S12A, SecSenre, S12B, segment escanner. Reconfirm transcript page pins. Interview 2024, pp 183, 184, and CDC primaries before final render, only if citing page numbers on air. S12ER, at least 3 feet in classroom settings, and S12B, to reflect the latest science, are read as two separately attributed polls, not as the ellipsis joined composite from the quote comparison block. The questioner's line, "Did you see any studies that supported 6 feet?" is read in host voice as an explicitly flagged paraphrase, never as a Daniel document voice quote, S03 note and source map. CDC press release framing read in host voice, new evidence on physical distance in classrooms, updating its K-12 guidance to reflect the latest science on physical distance between students in classrooms, per S11. Only to reflect the latest science is read verbatim as S12B. Misquote guard honored, made up, invented, appear in house voice only as the public framing being corrected. Act 3, Act 6. Brian never asserts authorship, never says lied, takes no position on the optimal distance, and never characterizes early pandemic decisions as bad faith. Mandatory Fairness Act, Act 6, is audible, not buried, and carries the misquote correction in house voice. TTS respellings, Fauci, empiric, CDC, K-12, spoken date forms, appear only in host narration. Document voice lines are left verbatim, e.g. 6 feet, 3 feet, empiric. So the reader voice matches the source text exactly. Pronunciation handling is in pronunciationguide.mdd. Mix per voice brief, The testimony reads in both correction passages are the driest in the episode. Hold air after sort of just appeared. After the number came first, the data came second, and after the closing cadence.